The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Everybody, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. Boy, oh boy, lots of crazy words flying around. This time, Cruz says he has no sympathy for Trump's complaints about the process because, you know, it's pretty much been a war of words with Trump and anyone else. So here's the latest from Cruz's mouth. And, you know, we're getting closer to the convention. There's no question about it as Cleveland gets ready for the Republicans. So Ted Cruz says the establishment is not rooting for me. You know, we talk about the so-called establishment. Don't you love it, too, that elusive term? Who is the establishment? It's the people that run the party. So Cruz responded to accusations by Trump that the rules of the Republican nomination process are stacked against him and the National Party is rooting for him to lose. So he's saying, listen, the deck's stacked in your favor. So he immediately came back and said, hello, anyone who knows anything about Washington knows they're not rooting for me. He was on CNN and he said that to Anderson Cooper. He said, look, the rules are simple. The way you get elected is you win a majority of the delegates in the election, and that's it. So Cruz was part of that whole town hall thing with his wife Heidi on Wednesday night, and, you know, this is ahead of the Tuesday primary, obviously, coming up in New York, and we'll be talking about that a lot for the next couple of days. Thursday is wide. Our next show is wide open phone line, so we'll be taking lots of calls on New York and some inside scoop that I've just found out. By the way, Trump had 54% of the support among likely New York Republican voters. This is a Fox News poll. Ohio Governor John Kasich, 22. Cruz was in third with 15%. In one way, that's not totally shocking to me. The most shocking thing that could come out of New York would simply be, and let's be real about this, if Trump didn't win and if Hillary Clinton didn't take the delegates for the Democrats. That would be the most surprising thing that could happen, honestly. I think it's just going to be another one of those, you know, move-ons, and that's it. That's what's going to happen. All right, let's talk about something as a follow-up here at the top worth mentioning. I just had this conversation with somebody about the Zika virus and the concern over the Zika virus, right, and how it's hitting here in the United States, or is it hitting here in the United States? So the Zika virus causes just horrific birth defects. We've seen what's happened in Brazil and in South America, and now the CDC is saying the study actually has shown and it shows kind of a turning point in the outbreak. They say it's clear, there's no clear microcephaly is that's what the virus causes, and that's horrific because, of course, we're talking about what's happening to these children when they're born. And it was just last week that the World Health Organization said that it causes Guillain-Barré syndrome as well. They said they're not ready to conclude that that's part of it, but they're saying there's no question what's happening is that there are fetal malformations, and one of them is the problems with the head of these kids when they've got the virus. So this is nothing to trifle with, and, you know, we can't keep saying we're seeing this from afar, because yes, it's happening in Brazil, but this can be spread, and the concern is how is it being spread possibly in the United States. And just so you know, so you understand what it is, it's a smaller head measurement than expected, is what you see. It has fetal, you know, the baby would have fetal brain disruption, and that has the destructive effect on a brain. Just a really sad, sad, horrible disease. And to think this is carried by a mosquito, and it is. You know, so it's like when we're talking about some of the West Nile virus, when we first heard about West Nile, remember the shock over that and how people felt about West Nile. This is awful. There's just absolutely no question about it. I mean, it is awful, awful, awful. By the way, speaking of awful, I got a little text today when this was happening, and some of you might already know the story, maybe you don't, but a quick buzz over by a Russian fighter jet pretty close to the one of our destroyers. Never good when we hear these kinds of things, because what is this? It's like, is it kind of one of those, we'll show you, or, you know, oops, so sorry we did that. Please don't shoot us down. But it's true, there were two jets, actually, that flew over the USS Donald Cook, which is sailing in the Baltic Sea. So one of the Russian jets flew within 75 feet of the ship's, what they call the superstructure, and the initial reports that came out of this said that the two encounters occurred on Tuesday night in international waters. A third overnight at a little bit more of an acceptable distance happened over last weekend, over on Sunday, and the Navy actually released a video of it. If you go to YouTube, no kidding, you can see this, and you can see what, you know, one of the things they're talking about, and they describe the Russian maneuver, because I talked to someone at the Pentagon about this, as a strafing runs without firing any weapons. Because what you see is the aircraft basically swoops in over the deck in the same flight profile that would have been used if an attack was underway. So how do you react to that? Imagine you're the captain of our ship and you see that. And now this is becoming way more common. In October, if you remember, last October, Navy jets intercepted two Russian aircrafts that were flying near the aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan, in the Pacific. So, how are these incidents tied or not tied? Or is it just, hey, we'll do what we want to do, just so you know, we're giving you fair warning. They're not trying to have a war start, but they're not concerned about the reaction to the flyovers that are, I mean, they're not flyovers, but to how close they're coming, which to me is frightening, scary, and stressful for anybody in those situations where they're seeing how close these Russian jets are getting. It's almost like taunting or teasing. Hey, you going to try to do something? Are we going to have an incident over this? Here we are. Come get us. I don't know. What's the purpose? We're going to just let you know we're out here? And that's what I think it is. Hey, we're out here just in case. We're here. You know, just watch out. That's what I think it's more about. All right, hang with us, because coming up, we got some great stories to tell you. One of a young girl who's an incredible golfer, and if you miss this, you don't want to miss it coming up. Also, insurance, everybody complaining about the new insurance that's kicked in the last couple of years, obviously, the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. What does it mean to you? We're going to talk to Danny O'Connell about that as well. So stay with us. More coming your way next on America Tonight.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
That I'm about to introduce you to could crush me on any given day. You know, I take a lot of pride in my golf game, but she would shred me. I am so sure of it. Wait till you meet her. I'm sure she's practicing off in the background somewhere, although does she really need it? Avery Zweig is with us now, and she is just amazing. She became the number one ranked player in the world for the graduating class of 2025 on the junior golf scoreboard. She still has that top spot. That happened back in August of last year. She's headed for the Masters, and why is that? Because of the drive, chip, and putt. She qualified. She's going to be there at Augusta National. Avery, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, first, let's talk about qualifying for the drive, chip, and putt. What was that like? What was it like when you found out, hey, I'm in? Because I know you already know how big the Masters is, right?
I do. So when I got in, the last stage was in Minnesota at Hazeltine Golf Course, and I was really nervous before. But the first, because there's three disciplines. The first discipline that I did was my drive, and I hit it really well. And when I was done, it was just like all of my nerves just went away. And then when I was done, it was just. I was just really proud of myself.
I love that. So here's the thing. So you said once you did the drive, you knew it and your nerves went away. Is the drive your favorite shot? Do you like to drive for show? And do you know that old adage, drive for show and putt for dough? What do you like to do the best on the golf course?
I really love to putt because that's how I started playing golf. And if you can't putt, like, you can't play, because we say good putting can make up for a lot of bad shots. So putting's my favorite.
Putting's your favorite. What was it that drove you to golf? I know your father caddies for you, and he's your buddy, and, you know, there's a lot of sports between the two of you. Was it your dad that, boy, you just like being with your dad, you like doing the golf thing, you like doing sports in general? What was it that drew you to the passion you already have at 9 years old for golf?
Well, my dad did start me out, so he used to play so much that I told my little preschool class that he worked at the golf course, and he did. He would play golf with people that he could do deals with because he's in sales. So I thought he worked there. So by the time I was two, he got a little putting mat for me, and he taught me how to putt. So. As I told you, good putting makes up for a lot of bad shots, so that's the first thing that I learned how to do. And then the golf game, when I was five, I played my first tournament, and it grew from there.
Wow, and here at nine, you've played in so many tournaments. How many have you won so far?
How many have I won? I've won 110 and played in around 200.
Wow, 110 out of 200? Oh, those averages are so sky high. Congratulations, that's unbelievable. Do you watch the scoreboard when you're playing to see where everybody else is?
No, I don't. But, if I'm in a... Like, for instance, when I played match play one time, my dad pretended like I was down the whole time so I could keep making up strokes. But we really never look at the scoreboard because I could get myself in some type of pressure that I really don't want to be in. I just need to play my game out there and I'll be fine.
I love that. That's the winning attitude. Do you have a favorite? Because you've played in so many different golf courses. Do you have a favorite golf course of all the places that you've played?
No, I love Cascada. I haven't played there yet, but from what my dad has said, it looks like a really nice course, and I've been to their pro shop, so.
So you're excited. Yeah. You know, you've played on a couple of courses that I've played that really, really tamed me. You've played on the Tribute Golf Club in Dallas. You played at Bear Creek in Dallas as well. And Bear Creek, you know this, Avery, it's distracting for me where the planes are flying all over the place, but you're so focused. I bet the planes didn't bother you, did they?
When I was bored, I sort of looked at the planes to see what airline they were. It's also really windy there, so it's a hard course.
It is a hard course. It's windy there. You just gave me my best excuse. I'm playing there in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to say Avery told me it's windy here, and I'm looking at all the planes. I have to see what the planes say on them, so I have an instant distraction and the reason why I'm not playing as well. I know you've met a lot of really cool golfers. Did you meet Jordan Spieth?
No, but I think I am after Augusta, because hopefully he'll be playing in the Red Bull, what is it, the Shell, the Redstone Championship when I'm at Augusta. So I'll meet him the following day.
Nice. Have you met any other golfers yet? I know you will meet them if you haven't. There's a lot of fabulous women golfers and obviously men as well. Have you met any of them yet?
I've met Brittany Lang. She's actually one of our good friends.
Mm.
And Lexi Thompson, I've met two times.
Lexi Thompson. I know both of them. Lexi Thompson and Brittany Lang, both really, really special the way they play. They're very competitive, just like you, right? Yeah.
Yes, to some mm-hmm. sort.
Yep, exactly. So you said you focus on your game, you go out and play, but you also have another passion. You've done something tremendous also at a very young age. You care about other people, and you've raised money. You raised money for a janitor at the school, $10,000, and I know you're helping other people. What fuels that?
Well, first, I raised $10,000 for the year, and mm-hmm. set $7,640 for Mr. Jeff.
Wow.
And then the rest of that money to complete the $10,000 was for some local charities. But it started out because my school was trying to raise money for him, because when they found out he was diagnosed with cancer, they were all felt really sad for him, so they were doing something. And then, so it was like at this place and you could donate, and my dad dropped in the 20 and I said hi to him. And then when we got in the car to go back, I said I wanted to do something. So that very day, Mr. Rick Green, who founded the Two Seen Dream Foundation, contacted my dad and said, can Avery wear my stuff? And he said yes, but I really don't know if that's going to like make money or donate or something or do something. So my dad then said, maybe we can do something with the Two Seen Dream Foundation, and you can raise money for Mr. Jeff. So that's how it started.
Wow. What's your goal now? I know you're still continuing to do wonderful things like that for other people, huh?
I am, and my goal now... Okay, so this year we're getting bigger and better, and we have two girls from other areas that are getting pledges from their own areas, and so our goal and what they raise is going to go with me, and it's going to go to Kaysen, the little boy that we're raising money for, and our goal is $25,000.
Wow, $25,000. Now, there's people listening all over the country. Is there a place where they can send money? Is there some place we can send them? If not, we can do that later. But do you know where people can send money to help?
WinGreenForKaysen.com or Avery's Wag Golf will have a link to the page.
Avery's Wag. That, just go right there and I'll have a link. That's wonderful. You are tremendous. I have one last question. You know, with all the clubs we carry around, the rest of us hackers, usually there's a club that we favor. Do you have a favorite club? Is it your putter?
It is my putter.
Your putter. What kind of putter?
What kind of putter do I have?
Yeah. Do you know what kind it is?
Odyssey White Hot.
Oh, white hot. You know, I have the same putter. Maybe we should exchange, because you have, yes, but you have a lucky putter. Mine is not always as good. So if we exchange, maybe some of your luck and skill will rub off on me. Avery, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
December 7th. 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Day. Who better to have on the show than a glass ceiling breaker, Sherry Wilson? She was the first female firefighter paramedic in the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Wow, imagine what that was like. So excited to have her on the show. She's got a book out called Faith on Fire, The First Ingredient of a Miracle is an Impossible Situation. I bet a lot of people listening to us across the country can relate to that. Sherry, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
So you got to take us back to the very beginning of this. First of all, what made you want to go into this profession?
Well, I wasn't really sure that this was what I wanted, but I was working for an ambulance company. I knew I wanted to save lives. But the reason I applied for the fire department was because a man told me I couldn't.
Always a good ingredient, an elixir to ignite a woman's passion for a job, yes.
He said, you can't do that. You're a woman. He goes, you're stupid. Women can't be firefighters. And I went, oh, well, I went home. I tossed and turned in the bed that night. I was really angry. I was on shift. I went home, took a shower, found my college transcript, walked into the Dallas Fire Department, and within a couple months, going through the processes, I was hired.
Wow. And what was it like the very first time when you put on the gear, learned all the ropes, all that kind of, all the kind of things that go into becoming a firefighter combined with what you were doing? What was that like when that first happened for you?
Well, I mean, out at the academy, it was all a training ground. But the very first really big fire, I just remember my heart pounding. And I was, you know, back in that day, we could stand up on the sides of the apparatus. And this fireman that I was riding with, he looked over at me. And I think he could see, as we were coming up over this bridge, it looked like the sun was coming up. And I had a panic look on my face. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, his exact words were, "Girl, that fire's already out. You hear me?" And I just went, okay. And we went in there. That was the faith on fire attitude. They didn't look at a fire and go, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" They had this attitude that was going to win no matter what. And it just stuck with me and it resonated through my entire life. And it ultimately helped me finish nearly 35 years in my career.
Wow. And from that scary moment, there had to be others. The first fire you jumped into the middle of where you thought, boy, am I, did you ever have that thought? Like you said, the winning attitude, did you ever have the thought, "I hope I get out of here. I have a family. I can't believe this." Did you ever once have that thought?
Well, there's times that you do what we call following the hose. You hope to hell the hose going out of the fire instead of to the fire. And so, yeah, I had a few of those. I think the scariest was we went into an old building in downtown Dallas, and it had served many a purposes, but we went up the stairwells, and I was one of the last to go up the stairwell, and I fell through the stairwell. Thank God my butt stopped me from going all the way through. And I was sitting there going, "Oh, God, help me." You know, I was expecting angels. They appeared in bunker gear. And over a period of time, they were able to dislodge me and get me out of there. And I ended up taking a few shifts off. But when I came back, they were like, "She's back." They really thought it would have done me in.
Wow.
And so I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And before you knew it, gear done.
Yeah. And what people don't realize is how much does all that gear weigh? This is not an easy task.
I don't know. Probably close to 50 pounds, maybe. I mean, without a mask, it's probably more like 25, 30. But with a mask, it's a little heavier. And they were heavier back in the old day. We used to have old steel tanks, and then finally we went to aluminum and fiberglass, and they were a little bit lighter and easier and more ergonomically comfortable. But, you kind of felt like a pack mule at times. But the gear wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me were tarps.
Tarps? Why were tarps hard?
Because they are so freaking heavy, and you usually carry two of them. And if you carry them up into a high-rise building, I mean, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, but that and the high-rise bag were the two hardest things to do, the two very hardest things.
Wow. So, crazy. I've spent some time, I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I had friends who were firefighters, and I spent a lot of time in my life. I've spent time around firefighters, people who do it for a living and people who are volunteer. And I think one of the hardest things is they never want to lose anybody, and going into a fire where they just can't, you know, where they can't save somebody, or they find somebody was in a back room and it's too late, everything explodes. Did you ever have an experience like that?
Well, I was involved in the 9/11 saga in a way. One, because I was a firefighter. Two, I had just dropped my son off at West Point a month before, and we had done the towers. We had eaten at Windows on the World. We had, you know, bought our little Christmas ornaments and things. And then to have my son near all of that was very stressful. That was a really hard time for firefighters. And the very first shift back, our lieutenant sat us down and he said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We are now the first line of defense for the homeland. You know, our military's over doing what they're doing. Here in America, something hits. We're the first line of defense. What are you going to do? Are you going to go up them stairs just like those firefighters?" And it was funny because it was like a calling to all of us. And, you know, we all made the choice that we were going to keep doing it. We weren't going to be stopped
by whatever was out there. Our rules of engagement changed. As a driver engineer, a lot of times I got stuck out with the apparatus instead of in the middle of whatever they were doing because we were afraid they were going to use our apparatus as some kind of weapon, and so we had to, you know, maintain control a bit. I mean, a lot of things happened because of that. I studied that to the point that, I mean, I had to quit watching it because, mm-hmm. you know, where we were looking at how the building fell and, you know, how can we, you know, because I really was not expecting those buildings to fall. And so we've gone through a lot of extensive, you know, trying to figure out what happened, how did it happen, what could prevent that in the future. And sometimes I say, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm glad mm-hmm. it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved what I did. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once a firefighter, you'll always be a firefighter.
Oh, I hear you on that, knowing so many people who have retired from the fire department and, as I said, have been in it. One thing I know about fire departments is the sense of humor is crazy insane. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was a television anchor, and, of course, I got to know a lot of the firemen. And they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Chipmunk.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I mean, and they meant it lovingly because they would gave me some good inside scoop. And it was just so funny. Like one time accidentally I was interviewing the chief and he was so comfortable with me. He said, "That's right, Chipmunk." And I cannot tell you the letters I got at the station from people about that nickname wanting to know what do they mean by that? So you talk about in your book, you talk about the fire department poop sheet. Tell us what a poop sheet is.
Oh, it's pretty much, oh God, you read that part, huh?
Uh-huh.
It was just a tool to lighten the load, so to speak. We called it agitation. And the poop sheet is pretty powerful. You know, words are very powerful. Once you put them out there, they're out there. And, of course, you know, there was numerous. I actually have files of poop sheets from over the years. And if it's not a poop sheet, it's a cartoon where, you know, they've put your face in there and you know, had something humorous to say. So, yeah, we had a lot of those. And I'm a writer, so you know, I couldn't really fight a lot of the battles that were there, so I did it with my poop sheet, and I was pretty destructive with it at times. I mean, there was a few of them that got really quiet, and when they got really quiet, I knew it was time to kind of back off. But I made my point. I mean, I learned to play those games just as good as they did, and in some cases, a little bit better. I'm not really proud of all of it, but I learned a lot of lessons, and I grew from it. And the fire department seems to be a lot gentler today than it was. But there's always a little bit of cordial hypocrisy, so to speak, going on, you know, people gesturing and posturing to be bigger than the other or better than the other or whatever. I mean, there's just that John Wayne attitude.
Yeah, it's playing the dozens, and you just did it on a sheet, and it was, you know, sarcastic or ripping on somebody's the way they dressed or groomed themselves or whatever it is. As you say, it's a way to, in a weird way, to keep score or do the John Wayne kind of thing for sure. Do you think more women will become firefighters? Have we seen the advent of, hey, now if you can do it, then we want you? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's nearly 100 in our department now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a betting woman, and I bet that the next chief will be a woman.
Really?
I mean, I would follow this one girl anywhere, but there's three or four of them that are absolutely qualified, have got the thing that's so unique about it is that, and it's how I stay connected to the department is through my friends, and they have the respect of the men. I mean, that's how good they are at this job, and so it's really exciting to see.
Well, that's cool, especially, like you said, they're that good at the job. All right, Faith on Fire is the book. Sherry Wilson wrote the book. She's the author. And to get a copy of it, can we go to Amazon?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to faithonfire.com.
Awesome. Sherry Wilson, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bye, fire. Bye, water.
Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to FastWealthFast.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to FastWealthFast.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
What can I do, baby? Get in the insurance game.
Are you confused or you're tired of trying to figure it out? Oh, I feel you, America. We're talking about health insurance, of course, and this is this open enrollment period. It's the season to figure it all out. And things have really changed for millions of Americans since the Affordable Care Act. A lot of people, and I get these emails, I can feel the heat coming through the emails, are furious still over what's happened. They have larger co-pays, they have high deductibles, often not even wanting to go to the doctor, just trying to suffer through something because they're afraid of what is going to be the out-of-pocket cost. It's awful. So, to sort some of this out with us, Danny O'Connell joins us, health insurance expert. Hey, Danny, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you, Kate.
So, you know what? Your phones must be ringing off the hook, I bet, and it's not to say Merry Christmas. It's to say, help me!
You know, I feel like I should start billing as part of a therapy group or a therapist. It's right. And the challenging part is every year this changes. And when you think, well, I found something, this works for me, and then lo and behold, you know, 10 months later, it's time to go through the process again, only to find out that all of your options are now completely different.
Yeah. So what should somebody do that's getting into this process and trying to figure out what's the right way to go? They're confused. They keep hearing, well, this insurance is cheaper, it's better, it goes further. And that's not often true. I think that's part of the problem.
Right. So number one, the first thing I would do is speak with your doctors and see what individual networks they are in, because unfortunately, the individual networks change almost every year. And really, that's going to be one of the major differences or a key difference between a plan offered through your employer or you going out and getting it on your own. It could be the exact same insurance company, but completely different network. So you want to go out and ask, are you taking these individual plans? What networks are you contracted with? That's step number one.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is really look at, okay, what type of a utilizer am I? Am I a person that, you know, I just kind of get seasonal sinus infections and I go to the doctor every now and then? Or am I somebody that's living with a chronic health condition? I'm on regular name brand medications. I need to see a specialist on a regular basis. Either way, I would say to expect to pay more when you're going and seeing a provider and being treated. So that would be the next thing. Just brace yourself, or it may cost you a little bit more, and each year it may cost you a little bit more to get treated. So those are two major things to be aware of.
Ooh. Okay, so the pay more scenario. Somebody told me the other day, you know what you can do? You can get a plan that's decent, and I love what you say. You absolutely call your doctor to find that out. Just don't play Russian roulette. But then you can also get the supplemental thing. There's supplemental insurance to cover you if something happens, something catastrophic or whatever it might be. That'll be a crazy number you would have to come up with, and there are a lot of insurance companies that offer that.
Yeah, some of the carriers offer like a rider or additional coverage in case of like a cancer or, you know, an accident that you can add onto the policy. And it's just kind of doing the math on those. I'm a big advocate of looking at disability and kind of like a critical illness policy and having your own. And a good critical illness policy is one that you can just buy direct from an insurance company. It's aside typically from your health insurance. But now you are starting to see health insurance companies offer the more limited ones. But the good thing about the critical illness policy is if you get diagnosed with something, it'll pay you lump sum, typically cash, for the diagnosis. And then you can go and see and get treated by whomever you want to, have experimental things, you know, covered, and have the money to be able to use that as you want.
Yeah, and usually that's relatively affordable, right?
It can be, absolutely, just depending on what level, you know, of coverage you want, age, covering the family, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think part of this is you just have to have, Danny, something that a lot of us don't have. It's patience. It's kind of like doing your taxes. You just have to take the day, take the days, and figure it out, do the math, like you said. Do you find when you get phone calls, I mean, people just want coverage because they're used to, especially depending on their work situation, being covered by work, and when all of a sudden they're catapulted into a different arena, it's uncomfortable, isn't it?
It is, and I would say definitely go work with an individual local in your area. Mm. There's a really good resource, one of our national associations. It's called NAHU, and their website is nahu.org, N-A-H-U.org. And you can look up in your area different agents that are registered with them, and they're going to be very good professional agents. There's typically no cost to work with them. They can help you navigate the plans. There's no difference in cost with a plan of working with an agent than going direct and going through healthcare.gov. And they can really help you identify some key things that you need to be aware of and help you get that issued.
Okay, so we're in the open enrollment season. How long does this continue?
Yeah, so for this year, it's through January 31st. They can always extend it at the last minute. The first year, it was like a six-month period. Last year, they really didn't do that. And it's important for people to understand and your listeners to understand that basically now is your time to buy coverage for next year. So if you wait until March, unless if you have a life-changing event, you can't call up and say, I need insurance now. It's January 31st, and that coverage will go into effect February 1st, and then that's pretty much it for the year.
Right, and so if you miss it, you're stuck. Yeah, I guess you can get catastrophic.
You're pretty well stuck, and you're facing a penalty from the IRS usually. And next year it goes up again.
Ooh.
And that's another frustrating part about this is, you know, people did their taxes this year. They paid the penalty, and they're like, all right, well, it's cheaper than getting insurance. That's true. But then this year for 2015, the penalty is actually double what it was last year. But you don't find that out until typically April, and the marketplace is closed. And so now somebody thinks that they paid one thing, and then next year in April of this coming year, they're going to find out their penalty was double what it was.
Wow.
And then it goes up and up.
And everybody's different economically, and how many children you have, what size your family is, all that kind of stuff obviously plays into this if you're not doing it through an employer. What about for low-income Americans? What about those people? Are there still subsidies, breaks? Because there was confusion over that.
There are, and you have to be careful kind of where your income is. It really dictates where you purchase. So there is the Medicaid market for the lower income people, and that's normally an individual making under $17,000 a year. And then when you go to healthcare.gov to estimate that subsidy, it'll tell you if your income needs to kick you back to the Medicaid program through the state or if you're eligible for a subsidy through the federal government. And this year I went through and I started kind of playing with it, and for me, I was putting in different income amounts, and the subsidy calculator through healthcare.gov was not working for a period of time. It's supposed to tell you at $46,000 or below, you start getting this kind of sliding scale. Mine, I couldn't get a subsidy until I was showing $33,000 of income, and it gave me a subsidy of $8 a month. And then the other part, too, that you got to be careful of, Kate, is when you give that, that's an estimate on based on what you think your income is going to be the next year.
Yeah.
So you actually get the option to say, give me all of it, part of it, or none of it. And the first full year that we went through this, 50% of the people who got subsidies actually owed money back to the IRS.
Oh, that would be awful. And see, here's the interesting thing, and you know this, Danny. We're speaking with Danny O'Connell, health insurance expert. A lot of times when you have entrepreneurs, and we have a country filled with more and more entrepreneurs, and you know how that is. One year you could be killing it, and then maybe you have kind of a down year. So it's hard to estimate, I think, with some small businesses, depending on how they pay themselves and what they do. I think that becomes pretty tricky.
It definitely is. It's a frustration, and you've got business owners that don't show any income and take it out at the end of the year and a lot of different things. So from the calculation, the penalty calculation, the other part is it's the modified adjusted gross household income. So it takes into account everything, alimony, child support. Anything that is producing income to you is thrown into that number.
So here's a question for you. Since you've been in this business for a while, and you now you've seen what's happened with this flip with the affordable health care, is it just the way it was implemented, like we'll throw this out here and then we'll worry about what's not working? How confusing is it from your side of it? I guarantee you've had to scramble and change some of your knowledge base.
Absolutely. And when the bill was passed, I think the intent was good, but the failure was in the execution and the people who were actually putting this together. And so much of it, the language in the bill says subject to the discretion of the Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. So it means that one person controls our health care, and they can make decisions one way or the other. I know a lot of people talk about President Obama extending and delaying and do these different things, but really that secretary at a whim can make any type of change. So at the beginning, we were seeing changes under Sebelius almost weekly, and now you're kind of seeing, okay, monthly type of thing. And I still have employers asking me, as of this weekend, is this going to get delayed? Because you have business owners that have never offered coverage that are now, do I pay the penalty or do I offer coverage?
Yeah,
and absolutely. And we've been very successful in working with our clients and finding an affordable solution relative to the market that can beat the penalty and still add value to your employees so you're not just throwing your money away.
Yeah, no kidding. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you in the great state of Texas, how do they do that?
Yeah, so they can call us from anywhere. We do business all across the U.S., but our number is 214-750-7557. Again, that's 214-750-7557.
Yeah, great information. I hope everybody was taking notes. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you so much, Kate.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885.
1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.